Broadcasting live from our Westlake studios, overlooking the great city of Austin, and helping you maneuver through this waning dystopia, it's episode number 498 of Shirts and Skins with, of Shirts and Skins After Dark. Coming up this hour at 1245, the Crap Bag provides some more freaky Shohei Ohtani stats. At 1230, an A&M coach got caught on video saying something he shouldn't. And in mere minutes, the Spurs make a big deal and more from the best part of the NBA, the offseason. I'm Trey Elling. Behind the glass today is a guy who can talk hoops, sports, music, and a whole lot more. He pushes his pee all over B&E every morning, and he helps make this show better a couple times per week. It is Isaiah Collier. What's up, Zay? How you doing?
What up, Trey? Shout out to the baby daddies that take care of theirs and not their baby mama's other badass kids.
I'm going to need an explanation of that one. I think there's a specific example you have in mind. And sitting across from me is the Waxahachie native and level-headed Aggie, who may speak your death into existence if he doesn't like you. It's Chad Hastings.
Ah, you damn right. So if you see... You see that sweet right over? No, I'm sorry.
We will
get to that. Let's have Zay. Let's have Zay clarify what he meant by baby mamas and baby daddies and all of that. Any particular reference you're making there, Zay?
Yeah. So there's a video that went viral. It's all over social media because people are having their own opinions about it. One side's one way. One side's the other way.
That's a shock.
And a lady who has four kids, also with other baby daddies. I don't know how many, but Okay. Clearly she has four kids. Some of the baby daddies, some of the kids, some aren't. Whatever.
Yeah.
So the lady is making a video because one of her baby daddies is bringing his son McDonald's. Just the son.
Oh, no.
She's mad because he should be bringing it for everybody.
Uh-uh.
He says in the video, these ain't my kids. It ain't my fault you mess with them other dudes.
Yeah.
They could go take care of theirs.
None of these kids are his.
Except for the one he brought
Except
McDonald's
the one for. That he brought McDonald's. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey.
Nothing wrong with that logic.
Sounds like the man's doing proper math.
Yeah.
I mean, right? I don't know.
Maybe you need to call the other baby daddies to make sure the other kids get their McDonald's.
Now, once I get there, I guess they're all hanging out together for some reason.
What do you mean for some reason? They're brother and sister.
No, I'm saying, do they normally live together, though?
The kids.
The kids do live together.
I feel like yes.
Okay.
With moms.
Because that's a part of it. But he handled his responsibility. Now, at that point, she doesn't need to be mad about it, but she could say, hey, by the way, the girls, you said they're four girls?
Right? No, just kids.
Just
I don't
other
know
kids.
What they are.
Hey, the four kids are hungry as well. Would you mind going and grabbing something? Here's some money. Maybe. But yeah, I don't know that she needs to be that mad unless she specifically asked him to do it.
See, I'm with y'all. But there's also women around here that say it's wrong for little Rodney to be eating his Happy Meal by himself while the others are watching him.
Yeah.
And Ronnie's, you know, slamming
it really
his
is.
Happy Meal, like, yeah. Licking his fingers while the rest of them are watching from afar.
It really is the scene out of Raw, right? I got McDonald's. Because you brag about it when you're a kid. When you have the Happy Meal and they don't, you always let them know about it.
Especially when everybody else is eating ramen noodles.
Ooh, look at the toy in my Happy Meal. These fries are so crisp. I have never had fries.
I hope Ronnie's not rubbing it in. I really hope he's not.
I do, too. That is funny. All right. Zay is with us today. It is Thursday. We are at the end of June, believe it or not. And we are at the end of our week. Shout out to the powers that be for not only giving us the 4th of July off, but tomorrow as well. So we're going to have a 4-day weekend. So this will be our last show this week, but plenty of football to cram in. A wild story regarding NIL conversations. We've been having that discussion for a while. Now a Now someone representing Texas A&M is going to further that conversation without even realizing it. And we've got NBA free agency to get into and some good conversations coming for you a little bit later. Real quick, though, Trey, since nobody else wants to do this nowadays, I'm going to throw out a bit of an olive branch, a bit of a reach across the aisle, if you will, to start the show today.
Okay.
I would like to say publicly, as a Rangers fan, that I hope Yordan Alvarez and the young kid, what's his name, Pena. I hope they're both okay, because I don't like seeing injuries in baseball. And Yordan Alvarez is one of those talents that I'll pay money to see. They ran into each other in the outfield yesterday. Both of them laid there. It was an 8-minute delay. And Yordan got taken. Both of them got taken away from concussion protocol stuff. I never root for the Astros, and I never will. But he is a talent. I hope they're both okay. I did not take any pride in that, Astros fans. I want you to know. So I want to start with some niceness today. I want Yordan Alvarez to be okay. He's a stud. I hate it when dudes that – this is my pretty people stuff, Trey. He's that talented. The more talented you are, the less I want you to get hurt. So I don't need Yordan Alvarez to be out for a while. I hope he's okay.
Yeah, I don't want Astro players to do well as a result of them just not doing well, not because of
right.
something like an injury.
Yeah, they were going full speed, and the infielder, the kid Pena, ends up basically slapping him in the head with his glove inadvertently. As they're both, you know, he's going back, Alvarez coming in, and they just crashed into each other.
Alvarez is like a brick wall, too. I'm assuming Pena took the worst of that collision.
Yeah, I'm guessing. Right. If I had to guess, I would assume Pena's out a little bit longer, because when Alvarez runs into you, you feel it.
Mm-hmm.
That's dump truck stuff right there.
Yeah.
Hopefully they're all right. And as Trey told you, coming up in the crab bag, I got some more freaky Shohei Ohtani stats, because I love that stuff. But why don't we start today with what could be a big day in the NBA. Let's go spec set piece and talk a little free agency, and we'll start with a story that involves the Spurs.
The spec set piece is brought to you by Specs Wine, Spirits, and Finer Foods. Cheer on Verde with Specs' larger selection of world-class wines, spirited spirits, and craft beers. Score more at Specs, official partner of Austin FC.
Now, also, before we get into this story, to make sure everybody gets equal time, I would like to have Zay respond, if he would like to Trey's assertion that the offseason in the NBA is more interesting than the season itself. Zay, do you have any comment to that? I felt like that was a cheap shot at a sport you love.
No. I get Trey being a Mavs fan, being scarred by Game 3 of the NBA Finals in 2006. It makes sense. The entire series where D-Wade went to the foul line probably 37 times in the first half, it felt like. But, you know, it happens. I get it.
And also watching the league as closely as you are now, back in the early part of the 2000s, the late 90s, and seeing a ton of examples of it, and that being the epitome of it all. But, yes, continue.
I'm just making sure.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
That's it.
Making sure.
I'm not the only one who says that the NBA has three seasons, the regular season, the postseason, and the offseason. A lot of people are as entertained and amused by the offseason as they are the other two.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's very dramatic, very soap opera-y, and yeah, it's cool to see players change and also have their own narrative, because they haven't had that ability back in the day.
But that has become kind of magical, if that's the word, about the NBA. Past a certain point, they have just become like the master league of drama, whether they mean to do it or not. Drama, soap opera, and all of that intrigue, they do that about as well as any other league. Plus, you're talking about small numbers, a 5-on-5 sport. We see them all the time. We know what they look like all the time. They're not in helmets. They're not in the heavy stuff, and it's not slow like baseball. It's not crazy dangerous, and they have to wear all the stuff like football. It's right in the middle of that. And they've just become these monster personalities that, let's face it, they run the show in a way that they didn't when I was a kid, and it just adds to the intrigue when we get to this time of year.
I don't think it is all an attempt to create the drama and the theatrics of things, but there's enough of it going on that it's just a natural part of the process now. And sometimes they do try to pump individuals, or they do try and add juice to a rivalry or a series, let's say, because of some things going on behind the scenes. But that is also just the nature of the beast at this point. And that really started with Magic and Larry back in the late 70s and 1980s, and then obviously it intensifies that much more with the Michael Jordan era of basketball because so much focus was put on the individual. And while team ball is obviously still very important, the Warriors have proved it once again with another championship, this is a league where individuals can really shine, even if you're not necessarily on a great team.
See, that's a perfect segue, because my theory is that the NBA is now trying to create a Hawks-Spurs rivalry that will... No, that's not what's happening at all. But the biggest story that does involve a Spur is the DeJounte Murray development, if you missed it. So the players that switch are DeJounte Murray and Danilo Gallinari. Spurs fans, you get Gallinari and picks. We'll talk about it. And then DeJounte Murray goes to Atlanta. There are three first-round picks that come to San Antonio. So, Zay, as you look at this, just on its face, first reaction to this trade, what was your thought?
The Spurs are looking for the future. They're looking forward to the future. They understand that being in the middle of the pack is a tough position in all the sports. Being able to be good enough to maybe make the playoffs but not win a championship and then be bad enough to, again, maybe get out the playoffs or a play-in but not get a good lottery pick. And you know, you don't want to be in that situation, especially for years to come. And this is a franchise that's really smart about their business upstairs. So I like the move, especially with what's coming in store. 2023 draft, the number one prospect, Victor Wembanyama, is supposedly the number one prospect since LeBron, which is saying a lot. And if you look at his measurements, it's hard to deny it. He's 7'3". He has a 7'9 wingspan, so they compare him to Rudy Gobert defensively. Oof. Offensively, he's fluid. He has a fluid jumper like Kevin Durant. He can maybe be a Giannis if he puts some bulk on him, and he's very, very skilled. I remember watching him play one-on-one with Rudy Gobert like 3 years ago, and I was like, oh my gosh, this dude's ridiculous, and he was only 15 years old. So, you know, if the Spurs somehow luck out and get him in the draft next year because they're bad enough, then, hey, this was an excellent trade, but they're still the lottery. I get that. But with Tim Duncan and what happened in 97, yeah, it could maybe happen in 2023, and I think that's what the Spurs are looking at.
Trey, that's a guy we're going to have to learn about that name. Obviously, Zay already knows a lot about him. Did you hear that description? Zay just named like five or six of the best players the last 10, 20 years. That sounded like one of those super dinosaurs they make in Jurassic Park movies now.
He looks like a dinosaur. That's what I'm saying. I'm not disrespecting him at all. That's how big and freaky he looks. He just looks like someone we've never seen before.
That's crazy.
Yeah, Zay doesn't give histrionic descriptions, yeah, so I'm definitely going to be paying closer attention going forward. Guys, how about this bit of information now on the San Antonio Spurs, who are obviously very clearly in a full-on rebuild. It's a little bit surprising that Greg Popovich is remaining as this team's head coach for this next season. We'll see what happens after that. But their highest paid player right now on this roster, Doug McDermott.
Wow!
Dougie!
Creighton?
Yeah.
Doug McDermott? Do I have that right?
Yep.
That guy.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. What's he making?
I don't have that number in front of me, just that he's their highest paid player right now.
Like $2,000 a game? Is that what they pay him? Is he on a 10-day? What's he doing?
He's on 36 10-days.
Consecutive.
Yeah.
He's on the life sentence of 10 days.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, so DeJounte Murray going to Atlanta, if you'd missed it last year, got his first All-Star appearance, and he averaged 21, 9, and 8. And if I heard this correctly, how about this for a goofy stat? He and Trae Young will be getting together in Atlanta. First time ever that teammates will both have averaged 20 and 8 assists the previous season. That's never happened in the NBA before. It's a weird specific stat, but there you have it. So DeJounte Murray will be in Atlanta and obviously gets him on a much more meaningful team right now. But I got to wonder what Spurs fans are thinking. Do they have the patience to go through what Zay's talking about there? They do have five rings in their pocket. So are they cool just saying, you know what, I'll watch this season for fun. And then we'll hope Pop sticks around, re-racks everything with this kid. If you get the kid, like Zay is saying, it becomes a Tim Duncan feel, and you just roll.
Yeah, Greg Popovich asked a couple of years ago, you ever heard of manslaughter? I have heard of manslaughter, Coach. I've also heard of straight-up murder, which is what has happened to this roster over the last couple of years.
Oh, come on now.
Jeez, I'm making that concerted effort to try and get that number one overall pick for this next year if things happen correctly. Now, for the Hawks, this is a great deal. Trae Young needed some help because Miami did such a great job locking him down in the playoffs. They needed somebody else who could really handle the ball when need be, although I'm guessing Murray plays more off-ball, at least with just the standard offense that Atlanta is running, but he can facilitate things if and when Trae Young needs a bit of a break or serve as that co-point guard at times when need be, too.
So the other thing to remember with the NBA as we talk about this today, today is free agency beginning. At 5 o'clock today, you can start talking to players. So when we talk about guys that will opt out, like we're going to do here in a second, they can start talking to teams as of 5 o'clock today, but you can't sign anybody until, of all times, 11 in the morning on Wednesday, July 6th. But we know how this works. They'll discuss it. The deal will get released. There'll be a Woj bomb, but it won't be official until Wednesday. So one of those names to mention is James Harden. He declines his option with Philly, $47.3 million. He declines. Now, Zay, you need to walk me through this. I'm reading and hearing that the idea is still that James Harden will be with Philadelphia, and they're just trying to do something that's a little friendlier for the team. Do you buy the idea that James Harden cares about the 76ers?
I do. I think James Harden went to the front office and said, you know what, guys? I'm not going to take this $47 million that I would completely grip y'all for because I'm not at that level that y'all think I am. So instead, I'm going to take around $37 million to where we have a little bit of room to maybe bring in another guy. So if we lose again, it's not completely on me. I tried. Because James Harden, he's not what he once was. Now, Joel Embiid, if he could get back to that runner-up MVP mode, which I think he can, but you always got to worry about the injuries with him. Tyrese Maxey, he's a good upcoming player. Tobias Harris has been solid, but it all rides on James Harden. This is a good move to give up some money because, you know, he's made enough. And they're going to get P.J. Tucker most likely in a three-year, $30 million deal. And that's a really good pickup because PJ, this is probably his last deal, him being 37 years old, and he's had a really good career, especially with him not being drafted. So, you know, I think the 76ers, I don't think they're going to win a championship, but if they somehow could make a right move, maybe get Bradley Beal because he could take a four-year deal anywhere he wants.
Yep, he opted out too.
Unless if he's greedy as hell and wants that five-year, $256 million, which...
Isn't that the rumor right now is that he's going to go back to Washington for that?
That's the rumor.
Wait a minute.
Please don't do that.
Wait a minute. His max deal is $256?
Please don't do that, Bradley Beal.
He's
Please don't.
No, he's a great player. Yeah. I'm not saying he's not great, but wow, I didn't realize it was that high.
Just what the max deal number is now. Yeah,
256. I did not realize that.
Yeah, you don't want to be like a Mitch Richmond or Alex English or Cindy Moncrief. Those guys were good players, but nobody talks about them.
Right.
You want to be on a squad where you can make some noise. And if Bradley Beal takes this deal, he's going to be just like those three guys I mentioned.
Ooh, that one hurt. I dug Cindy Moncrief as a kid.
Oh, but he was nice.
But you're right. He was on some teams that did not matter. A bunch of them. I'd watch him every year, all the way up through and kind of into the playoffs. He'd barely peek into the playoffs sometimes, and then Sidney would wave goodbye.
They swept the Celtics one year during the 80s run before Dennis Johnson got there, and then once DJ got there, that's not.
Yeah, that was a good year. I like that year, sweeping out the Celtics. That was fun. All right, so keep your eye on Philly as James Harden declines his option, and then Zay just referenced it. Bradley Beal declines a $36.4 million option. The five-year max with Washington's out there. A four-year max with any other team is out there. Last year, Beal averaged, Trey, 23-5-7. He was a really, really good player for Washington. Now the question is, where does he want to be?
Oh, over the last 5 to 7 years, he has been on that list of guys that I will occasionally tune into or at least stop to watch the highlights of his games because he's that freaky as a player. They're different types of players, but he gives me the same sorts of feels that Damian Lillard does. Like I just am entertained by watching him play basketball. Did you see that there's a third team now that may be entering the Jalen Brunson sweepstakes, Chad?
No!
Because the Knicks are obviously trying to go full-on Knicks and signing him to a $100-plus million deal.
Oh, God, let there be another team that drives the Knicks price up and they pay him even more.
Actually, yeah, this theory, your theory makes sense based on the team. The Mavs are trying to get back in it now.
Oh, no.
And I guess the Miami Heat may be meeting with him at some point before he makes that final decision.
Zay, what? Why is everybody flipping out over Jalen Brunson?
Yo, Miami Heat, I don't blame you. Kyle Lowry was atrocious in the playoffs this past year.
Maybe that's it.
And the way he played, Pat Riley's out here fat-shaming them and stuff like that. Yeah,
should be.
I could see it.
But 110? Should they pay him 110?
I don't know about that, but...
Oof.
He is, because he's a very similar type of player as Kyle Lowry, so it would be an upgrade there.
Yep, both it's Jay like Wright products.
It's like you're getting old Kyle Lowry there, not fat Kyle Lowry.
So you're fat shaming him, too?
You're getting a newer left-handed version? Is that what you're saying?
Look, if you go big fat point guard, you're going to get called big fat point guard by me on these airwaves.
How dare you? I mean, how dare you?
You should have heard me when Khalid El-Amin was having his heyday at UConn.
God. That's my dude.
The Khalid El-Amin.
Yo, one of the best backcourts in college basketball. Him and Rip used to light it up.
That was a good UConn team.
God, they used to light it up.
Oh, my Lord.
They won the ship.
They did. They won it all, and they were impressive. They were tough to deal with. So the NBA rolls on free agency with the Spurs making a big deal. DeJounte Murray headed to Atlanta. Spurs fans, you get Gallinari. If you want to let us know your feelings on that, Specs text line is there, 337-3776. We will talk a little basketball today, but there's football to get to as well. Up next, an A&M coach. Well, maybe that's not the right word. An A&M representative talking money with a recruit, and somebody was filming. Let the NIL discussions resume. We'll get you the story next on The Horn.
Shirts and Skins.
Turn this up a little bit, please. I think I got it.
Go ahead, Trey.
Sum 41.
Did you get it?
Yeah.
Not even a fan of these guys either. It's a nice Beastie Boys impression at the start of this song.
You know what? That's the only thing I thought of. It sounded like the Beastie Boys for a second.
Yeah, this is that pop punk that I just never fully got into, like Blink 182, Sum 41.
Zay's getting after it.
Even the guys that we've given a lot more credit over the last few years, The Offspring.
The Offspring had
that similar style too. It just wasn't my jam. Yeah. It was more like grungy alt rock for me back then.
Okay, yeah, you needed them to be a little grungier than they were.
Yeah,
they were a little clean for you.
Yeah, and
you needed your punk to be dirtied up a little.
Well, it's weird because many of them are from California and were influenced by the West Coast punk scene, by like the Bad Religions of the world, but they just had this bubblegum way about them where it was hard to take the music seriously.
It's a natural thing in music. The derivatives just happen sometimes.
Yeah.
Just sort of occurs. All right, Sum 41 gets us started today. We've hit some basketball, but there is a story in college football that the fans want us to talk about.
Whoa, hold on a second.
So we're going to have to talk about it, but Trey's eyes just bugged out of his head too.
Oh my gosh.
All right, don't be swearing now.
I having to catch myself. Can we please hit the breaking news sounder? This is not a joke.
Is this a big death in sports? Is this a massive story? Did somebody get sued? Did Dan Snyder finally respond to a subpoena?
John Wilner, who covers the Pac-12 for a number of different outlets on the West Coast, speaking of West Coast, just reported this 8 minutes ago, Chad.
Okay.
USC and UCLA are planning to leave for the Big Ten as early as 2024.
Oh, my God.
The move, quote, has not been finalized at the highest levels of power.
Oh, my goodness. Can we get... Can we get Kliavkov back to the podium, please? Can I get a redo? I have a follow-up question for George Kliavkov.
Hey, Georgie boy, you want to reconsider that not expanding the college football playoff vote now that you're losing USC? UCLA is not as big of a deal.
Trey, USC and UCLA going to the Big Ten?
It's, look, this is what we've been talking about.
That is gross.
Even though everybody seems to be flinching at this game of college football chicken, the reality is that the landscape of college football is about to look drastically different in the next 2 to 3 years. And this is a great example of that. We may very well see things move around to the point where the Power 5 becomes a Power 4. And you have 64 schools that are a part of this Power 4, with everybody else in the FBS qualifying as a group of 5 score, group of 6, or whatever that number ends up being.
It's such
once all of this settles.
Dude, it is such a shame that they couldn't have gotten some structure in place years ago, expanded a playoff to the right number, and then none of this would matter. None of it would be necessary. But they're rushing because they have no structure in place and no leadership in place. They're all frantically moving pieces around that they do not have to. This does not have to happen, but they're going to make it happen anyway. That is goofy to me. You said no later than 24?
No later than 24. As early as 24.
Could be as early as 24. Could be, wow. Could be by 2024. How about that? That trumps the other story we would talk about. So definitely glad you saw that. Whoa. So if you're just jumping in, a story from the West Coast that USC and UCLA are looking to possibly leave the Pac-12. Pac-12 Media Days should be fun now. And maybe as early as 2024. Good grief.
Okay.
So let me make sure I'm clear on this, Trey. Let me make sure I'm clear. Are you telling me I could be living in a world where USC and UCLA join the Big Ten before Texas and Oklahoma join the SEC? Is that what you're telling me? Is that what you just told me? Because you know everything comes back to that for me.
I'm not going to put this on CDC. Castiglione and anybody else at Oklahoma, figure it out.
Let's go, boys.
There is no excuse to let this drag on until 2025 at this point. This shouldn't drag on past next summer.
And you know what you do now? Now you use the Lincoln Riley thing against him. You can't let Lincoln Riley have his way and move to his brand new conference before you do.
Don't you want to beat Lincoln Riley to the punch? Great call there.
Come on, Castiglione.
That is the way that you get to Sooners, to get them to figure something out, or to get them to swallow their pride to ask Texas or the SEC to borrow that money.
Tie up that beautiful crimson tie into a nice Windsor and get in the right office and do it. Come on.
Yeah.
But you know what? You said you weren't going to have him a part of it. He needs to be a part of this. CDC and Texas needs to use every bit of their power, and so does the SEC. All of those. I'll blame them all if they can't get it done.
So the Big Ten is about to have 16 schools.
That would be 16.
The SEC now has 16.
You're assuming they're keeping the powers of Rutgers and Maryland. Is that? Do we know that for sure?
You're right. That is an assumption.
Because before the show's over, Rutgers and Maryland might announce they're going to the Pac-12. You never know.
Rutgers just needs to change from the Big Ten to just dumping their athletics department in the ocean.
That's rude. That is so rude. The RAC is an incredibly intimidating place to play basketball, and they have a football stadium.
They may have a chance now in football with Shiano back there. His little Napoleon theatrics obviously didn't work in the NFL with your team, but it works well in college football, or at least as in the past.
They get you a couple guys every once in a while. Absolutely.
Damn, Trey, nobody's dissed Rutgers like that since Don Imus.
What did Don Imus say?
Stop it. Just stop it. Don't do that.
No, I'm
that
serious.
No. That was a good reference. He just made the Don Imus, you know, Rutgers women's basketball team.
What did he say about the women's basketball? I really don't know.
All right, we'll get to it in a break.
I really don't know.
If I say it out loud, I might get fired. I'm not going to say it out loud.
Figure out a creative way to say it. Don Imus.
It included the word hose.
Rutgers.
Do you not remember this story? It was one of the biggest stories in sports history and radio history.
All right, hold on. Here we go.
What did he say? Huh? What do you mean Joe Namath made a guarantee? What are you talking about? What do you mean guarantee to win? What are you talking about?
Don Imus.
He called them nappy-headed hoes.
There you go.
He called the women's basketball team insulting their appearance and tattoos.
There it is. Okay.
Called them nappy-headed hoes.
It's
a foolish thing by him.
Yeah.
Wasn't invoking any of that. I was just saying the athletics department on the whole should be dumped into the ocean.
I see. Okay. Fair enough. All right.
I love Eric LeGrand, though. I love Eric LeGrand.
Ah, well, there you go. Eric LeGrand. Be sure you state that clearly. All right, so let's dig into all the aspects of this story, and then we won't have to talk about the A&M story here. Is that okay? Can we do that?
No, we need to talk about the A&M story now. Yeah.
Okay. All right, so if you've missed this one, you'll probably see it on Twitter, or you've already seen it, you'll see it. It's a short video. It's out there. There's actually a shorter version and a little bit of a longer version, but here's the basics. An A&M, this is not one of the official coaches, not one of the 9 or 10 or whatever you're allowed.
He's an assistant with the player personnel department.
Yeah, player personnel assistant for A&M, Andrew Bather, or Bather would be the name, I believe.
Going Bather.
Bather, probably, yeah. He is on a recruiting, kind of orchestrating a recruiting trip, if you will, giving a tour of Kyle Field and all the stuff.
Like player personnel guys are prone to do.
And apparently, one of the players on the trip, no shock these days, is filming.
Not because he's trying to get anybody in trouble, but because he's going to put together a highlight reel of the A&M experience on this official visit weekend.
Yeah, he's doing the pan of Kyle Field.
Yep.
Show him this and show him that, show him the ends or whatever. Do we have the sound that we're going to play for people?
Apparently we do.
Okay, we'll see if this comes through, but this is the coach on the coach, the player personnel guy, giving the tour and kind of stating for the guys what they're seeing in Kyle Field.
Y'all getting a lot of money from these people behind the suite. Y'all decided to go play.
Yeah, that didn't end up being super clear. But end up getting a lot of money is going to be the key phrase there. He's telling them about the suites. He's saying, we already have more suites than any stadium in the country. We're about to add more here. And they're on the south end talking where they've closed off everything. And he's saying they're going to add suites on that end. And then he makes that reference to, and right up until that point, I'm thinking, okay, yeah, right. But then he says, those people are going to pay you a lot of money if you come here. And then the video clicks off and goes to another part of the tour, if you will. So, Trey, we are back to that discussion you and I have been having for a long time, and some don't want to have it, and some think they can't have it, but we've talked about this. What can be said in a living room? What can be discussed on a trip? I hadn't really thought of the recruiting trip thing in that reference, like outside in the stadium. I would have thought that would be a one-on-one deal there. So this is now going to be discussed. So we got different angles to hit. What's your first angle on this story?
That the Longhorn fans that are getting as much joy as I'm assuming that some are getting out of this need to get a bit of a life.
I don't know that they're getting any joy out of this. I mean, I think that's just completely overboard for you.
It's mildly amusing at most, but
they're having a good day.
By the same token, this is happening everywhere, guys. Guess what? It's probably happening at Texas as well. This is just...
I wouldn't say it that way, though. I wouldn't say it the way he said it. You can say it without saying it like that, can't you?
Maybe, but I think that things are stated pretty clearly at times. Whenever you have a player personnel guy showing dudes around, and saying these are the people that are going to be helping line your pockets if you decide to become a Texas Longhorn. Because he wasn't even saying these guys are going to be paying you to come here. He was insinuating that these are the people that are going to hook you up with these endorsement deals, the people sitting in these suites,
right,
if you decide to become a Texas A&M Aggie.
So that's that goofy line we keep talking about. Is that incentivizing it? Because that's not supposed to be legal. But we all know what we're talking about here.
See, this is where it's hard to have this conversation, because you have ideologues who believe that is something that will be carried out by most programs, that they won't talk about it in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
That these people are not allowed to talk to players about money or NIL deals or anything else. It's got to come straight through compliance. Guys, we live in the real world here. We don't live in la-la land. We live someplace where those conversations happen behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. And our attempts to legalize a lot of this, to allow guys to profit off of NIL, and ultimately to probably have the college football program separate itself, certainly from the university, but perhaps the rest of an athletics department as well, is to truly legitimize this sport, to allow these guys to get paid what they probably should be paid to go along with that free education and make sure to get as much of it over the table as possible. These conversations happen.
No.
I know some of you are shocked by that. Some of you are appalled. some of you Aggies out there may want to turn in your, what's the ring they give you guys? The T-ring?
It's the Aggie ring.
The Aggie ring. Yes. You may want to turn in your Aggie ring now. I'm sorry. The T-ring is the Texas ring.
That's true.
I never got my degree. But it's just not that big of a deal to see it happen. I know it's maybe a little bit embarrassing for you as an Aggie, but ultimately you have to know this is going on within big-time college football programs across the country.
This now becomes the weirdest segment ever from what you just said to what I'm about to do and educate you on the T-ring. Remember, the T-ring is for athletes. The Longhorn ring is separate, your school. That was the weirdest segment we've ever done.
Like I said, I didn't get my degree, and it's very obvious now.
And by the way, I think the lesson we learned from this, assuming this guy gets to keep his job at A&M or ends up with one somewhere else if he doesn't get to keep his job, it's probably that teams need to go for, okay, the conversation can happen, and we understand it'll happen. Let's not make it a monologue. Let's not just say it because these guys might have been in ooh and ah mode. There's no need to start answering questions that haven't been asked on a tour.
It was almost a throwaway comment.
I know, but you could see it in his brain, Trey. There's a moment where he goes from, I'm doing this tour, to, I got to throw some incentive. I got to throw some ba-boom in there. And then he leans into it, and you're like, oh, wait, I might not say it that way. I might not go there.
Yeah, ultimately, he didn't say, these guys are going to pay you to come here. These are the guys, but he said, these are the guys that you're going to make money from if you come to A&M. These are the guys that are going to be hooking you up with NIL deals. I know you have to make a little bit of a connection there, but it's not this egregious foul that some people are treating it as today.
All right, as we hit this break, let's think about this. Think back to the soap opera with Jimbo and Nick Saban. Let's think today, and you tell us on the Specs text line, 337-3776. If you're Jimbo Fisher and somebody asks, what's your reaction? If you're Nick Saban and somebody asks, what's your reaction? You had the best idea for Saban earlier. Just a quick quote, told you so, end quote. I mean, that'd be all you need, right?
Yeah, I think Jimbo is probably going to institute yonder bags for every official visit going forward.
I think so, especially after the guy, remember the kicker, the guy who imitated a kicker during the season
right.
And snuck in?
Yeah.
He's going to go Dave Chappelle on this thing with some yonder bags.
Yonder bags for the entire stadium for home games.
All right, coming up, we'll get Paul Wadlington's thoughts. Oh, good Lord, what will Paul think of that? From Inside Texas and On3.com. Also, he's a part of a great football preview, a digital preview that's available every year. Paul will tell you about that coming up. Up next, it is the crap bag, some more freaky Shohei stats, and we're getting ready for UFC 276. This is The Horn.
Shirts and Skins. My pa was a preaching pastor, and my mom taught Sunday school.
Come on!
I was told about devilish people who live death and do no good. All I knew was my religion.
I'm reaching into my pocket to get some money. Pass something. Man, that's a great voice. Mm-hmm. Is that Tina?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Good job. That's some way back Tina right there.
Ike and Tina.
It's got to be Ike and Tina, right?
To be specific.
If you're going back that far, it's got to be Ike and Tina. Oh, what a voice. What a voice. Love it, love it. Ike and Tina joining Sum 41 to start the show today.
You could cross Ike out for obvious reasons.
Okay, we're going to put Tina. Thank you. We'll go. And I'll take the Ike and the and out. We'll just say Tina Turner was on the show. How about that? Tina Turner, ladies and gentlemen, and Sum 41 getting us started. Lots of interesting stories out there. NBA stuff as free agency comes up today. These football stories. We were going to talk about the A&M player personnel guy and talking about NIL on a tour, and we did a little bit of that. But also this breaking story from the West Coast that USC and UCLA, I can't believe I'm going to say this out loud, are thinking about going to the Big Ten, and maybe by 2024, I bet Gene Smith is smiling somewhere if he's had this one under his hat. And what's his name? What's Warren? Is it Warren, the commissioner?
Kevin Warren. With the Big Ten.
Woo! Oh, Trey, there's layers to this story that we haven't even gotten to, such as the Alliance part of that story.
Exactly.
Is the Alliance garbage now?
Is it useless, or have they been working on that behind the scenes and Kliavkov is undercutting his own conference and screwing with the ACC's future? Like, come on, man.
If they've been in cahoots on that, well, either way, they need to blow this thing up. But if they've been in cahoots and getting USC and UCLA out of the Pac-12, then they definitely need to kill the alliance. Yeah. But either way, like, you've either been double-crossed here, or you have done something so completely stupid that you've made your conference less relevant.
Yeah, that's goofy. Yeah, so we got to figure out. We'll see where that story goes in the next few days. Paul Wadlington, Inside Texas on 3.com, and the Everyone Gets a Trophy podcast will join us at 105. He's also part of the Thinking Texas Football Preview, a digital preview we tell you about each year. That's available now wherever you grab your podcasts and the digital stuff. Go find that. Wherever you get your books, you can do digital. He may have a hard copy version. He'll tell us coming up at one.
He does. Well, okay. It's technically it's a paperback, but yeah, you go through Amazon books for that. Yeah.
Right. If you need a hard copy, you can do that. So we'll get that to you. Right now, though, in the crap bag, a little UFC preview, but also got to tell you about some more crazy Shohei stats. Here we go.
Chad's crap bag.
Crap bag. If you need an easy way to remember it, just think of a bag of crap.
Brought to you by AV Consultations, 255-8678, or go to avconsultations.com. All right, Trey, you know I'm a sucker for Ohtani stats because he's such a freak. And I think we all need to just realize how lucky we are to even see this existing. I know the Angels aren't great. I'm kind of glad about it as a Rangers fan. But still. Okay, so here's one. Ohtani, in the last three games, has had 30 or more strikeouts, given up no runs, allowed no runs, and no extra base hits in a three-game span. The only other pitcher to do it in the last 30 years is Clayton Kershaw.
Oh, man.
Clayton did it back in 2015. Again, three games in a row where you get 30 strikeouts, don't allow a run, and don't allow anybody to get to second base on an extra base hit.
That's good.
That's crazy. All right, so the other stuff on Shohei, as I'm watching SportsCenter, they flashed this up. Now that we're at the end of June, he's done in June. He doesn't, you know, because he pitched yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
In June, he had an 11-game hitting streak, tying the longest of his career. He had a career-high 8 RBIs on June 21st, then followed it up with a career-high in strikeouts the next day, 13 strikeouts on June 22nd. He has the hardest hit home run of his career, June 25th versus the Mariners, 118 miles per hour, and he is currently on a 21 2/3 consecutive scoreless innings streak, and that's the longest of his career. He did all that in June.
He's playing good ball right now.
It's silly. It's absolutely silly. Shohei Ohtani, two-way Shohei, is one of the best nicknames I've heard in a while. He is absolutely amazing.
It's just a shame his talent is wasted on the Angels. Yeah. I know they were good earlier in the season. They've obviously fired John Madden since then. John Madden, long deceased now. I wish he was on a good team because the Angels are middling at best, even with him on their roster.
Isn't it weird? We may get 10, 15, 20 years down the road, and somebody could make an argument that maybe the greatest position player and maybe the greatest two-way pitcher and position player we've ever seen both got wasted by the same franchise.
Yeah.
And we kind of didn't get to see him. Because some people think Trout's the greatest of all time.
Mike Trout, too, absolutely.
And then Ohtani's got the freaky stuff, too.
The 37-41 right now, a game behind the Rangers in the AL West, with the Astros obviously running away at 20 games over 500. Texas has pulled back to respectability. They were terrible at the start of the season. They're 36-38 now.
Crazy, man. All right, the other quick crap bag item, we got a UFC card this Saturday, UFC 276, main card, ESPN Plus, 9 o'clock on Saturday like normal. Prelims are actually on ABC and ESPN. I wish I could tell you there's good prelim fights. There aren't. Cowboy Cerrone, I think, is going to fight. But other than that, not a lot there. But man, these two championship fights are awesome. So, main event, Israel Adesanya will take on Jared Cannonier, and maybe two of the greatest nicknames, Trey, we could have in fighting. Israel is the last stylebender, and Jared is the killer gorilla. And they're taking on one another for the 185 belt on Saturday night.
Great nicknames.
It's awesome. So here's this basic setup. In fighting, I love it when the challenger for the belt is from the place where the fight is happening. Okay. So in this case, what we have is we're in Vegas. Two Americans are trying to take the belts from two non-Americans. So Israel Adesanya, born in Nigeria, he's incredible. Four defenses, he's an awesome fighter, but Jared is from the United States, and he'll try to beat him. So the crowd, you would assume, will be doing some chants for Jared and hoping he can grab the belt. Then in the co-main event, my man Max Holloway, I do love Max, from Hawaii, he used to be the champ here. Alexander Volkanovski took the belt from him, then beat him again, and this is the third fight. If Max can't get it done here, he might not get another shot as long as Volkanovski holds this belt. That's the 145 belt, so those are your two championship fights. I'll be rooting for Max, and honestly, I don't care who wins the main event because I love Adesanya, but if Cannonier pulled it off, it'd be good. He is a heavyweight at one point that is now coming down to 185, so how big he is on fight night is interesting to me. Because we haven't seen somebody that really gets in there and dominates Adesanya other than the time that he went to 205 and actually lost for the belt. But that'll be an interesting fight based on just kind of who Jared Cannonier is.
I feel like Cowboy Cerrone has been a part of the UFC for a long time now. Is he getting near the end of his career? Because I'm also hearing of him taking on acting roles, like trying to get more of a Hollywood career going, too.
I think that's going to be part of it for him. He's strung losses together in a way that would tell you maybe it's towards the end. He has more, what is the stat? He's got more finishes, I think, than anyone in the history of the UFC. So that's how long he's been around. But he is scheduled to be on the undercard of this one. Robbie Lawler's on the card. Sugar Sean O'Malley, one of the younger guys, it's pretty cool to watch, also on that undercard. So that's UFC 276, comes up on Saturday night. The Last Stylebender against the Killer Gorilla. That is fantastic. Love the fight names. All right, there you go. Some crap bag for you. We do it every day about 12:45. Wild stories in football. We'll hit some of those coming up with Paul Wadlington. Interesting that we're about to talk to Paul, who's out on the West Coast. Wonder if Paul's hearing anything about this Pac-12 deal, this USC-UCLA thing. We'll ask about that. Yep. The A&M player personnel guy saying what he probably shouldn't say on a tour of Kyle Field. And, of course, we got to talk to Paul about the week that has been Longhorn recruiting. Arch Manning sent a tweet, and then a whole bunch of guys made a decision after that. That's all coming up. Stay with us. It's Thursday. It's the end of June, and this is The Horn.